Good morning. Today is Thursday, January the 19th. Joining us this morning is Eureka City Schools Superintendent Fred Van Fleck.
Good morning.
How you been?
I'm doing well. Surviving this wet weather, but I see a little bit of blue sky working its way in over the bay.
I think that's an anomaly. Maybe it's just a big seagull that kind of had some bad food this morning.
It could be.
Tilted just the wrong way. Did you guys lose power last night?
No, we did not, but we lost power at Zane yesterday for about 10 o'clock on. So the whole afternoon, no power.
Oh, really?
Yes.
But not at the high school?
Not at the high school. Well, we lost power at the high school
different
for
grids,
about
I know.
10 minutes. Well, we actually had a limb.
Generators?
No, we just carried on. As long as we have water, we'll keep going because, the reality is we're going to send the kids home. There's nobody there, so we keep them.
That would make sense.
Yeah, just need to make sure we have
bathrooms. We lost some power at the house, which is in between the two. But we were up in Brookings yesterday.
So. Oh, there you go.
So just came home and things needed to be reset.
Yes.
Some of them.
Well, we lost power at home on Christmas Eve for 6 hours.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes.
Did you break out the candles? Do all right?
It started up the generator.
Oh. No barbecued Christmas Eve turkey for you guys, huh?
Yeah, well, the turkey, believe it or not, was done right as the power went out. It was like perfect timing.
So you were able to go back out there and resplice where you cut it? What do you guys do with something like that? In the old days, we used to have flooding. Mm-hmm. And Worthington and the kids going out to freshwater would have to leave based on the tides. Mm-hmm. Okay, just kind of normal stuff. Is it normal stuff to be impacted by weather now?
Not so much as it used to be. I remember as a kid, we would go for days without power. And now, PG&E has really got their grid system pretty figured out. And for the most part, unless you're really rural, they get it fixed pretty quickly. And the nice thing about schools is it's a priority for PG&E to get their power up and going.
So you're not out too long. I know your bud Paul Ziegler was really involved at a former place of employment with the whole Y2K thing. I can still remember his presentation in 99. Talking about this thing called Y2K to the Rotary Club.
Yes.
What happened to all those backup generators? Do you guys have redundancies for computer systems so that either the Y2K spectacle doesn't come back up or the isolation thing just doesn't occur and you're not relying on that outside power source?
So our tech department, which is where all our servers are, does have backup generators. At the sites, the phones are IP telephony, which means that they run over the internet, basically. And so we have battery backups on all the phones. So, for instance, at Zane yesterday, we had 3 hours of battery backups on our main phones coming into the campus. But the thing that's really nice now is, believe it or not, you can take the main phone on the Zane campus, unplug it, and plug it in anywhere in the district, and if somebody calls that extension, it will ring.
As Zane?
No, anywhere.
Or,
yeah.
But,
so,
you're picking up, but it's the Zane phone number.
Right, exactly. So if you take the Zane phone, plug it in, say, at the district office, and somebody calls Zane, it'll ring there.
Or take it home.
Yeah, well, we're not on the network at home, so.
KINS.
It's not that one.
Yeah, okay. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19. We'll be back with more from Fred.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. Back to Talk Shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck. Was reminded we had missed a quote. Fred had even found one.
I did.
Why don't you read it?
Well, now you're going to make me find it
I put the date right there.
What authority I may have rests solely on knowing how little I know. Socrates.
Yes.
And you know what? You know, that's one of my favorite things I like to say. I don't know nearly as much as I knew when I was 21.
You know my phrase? Not about you, but my phrase?
Uh-huh.
Make it management proof.
Yeah.
Use small words. Make it so even somebody who has no knowledge of what it is, or yesterday's knowledge instead of today's knowledge, that we could come, you could come in and teach the classroom based on the information that was made available.
And that's a real problem in education, because we have all these doggone acronyms. It's just crazy.
Yeah, or let's say a new one of your school board members moves. You got somebody back. Now you appoint somebody tomorrow, meeting on Tuesday. Okay, are the notes up to speed? Can they follow what's going on? Are they able to get right into the, or is it going to be a 3-month buildup? Well, the organization can't afford that.
Right.
Yeah. Speaking of which, we've got Gary Eagle's replacement process is occurring, what, yesterday and today?
Today and tomorrow.
Yes, okay.
Yes. In fact, I'm going to.
Are you sitting in?
I'm going to go over for a little bit and watch some of the interviews. It's all public. It's very interesting.
I'm going to sit in the back row and make faces at the board members.
So we have a. You know, I think the candidates are all public. It's all agendized. We have some. I think this morning the two locals that we have being interviewed today are Chris Hartley, who's the superintendent currently of Northern Humboldt, and Glenn Sinistrero, who's the superintendent of Fortuna High School District. So those two, I did not put my name in the hat there, so I was not interested in that position.
Were people urging you to, or concerned that you might?
A lot of people were speculating that I would, but I don't think anyone was concerned that I would, or, you know, I mean, I don't know. I didn't talk a lot about it. Because
they hadn't already stolen your nameplate and put in TBAA? Yeah, okay.
I mean, I guess from the Eureka City School side, I had board members that were very hopeful I was not interested in leaving. So,
I would imagine, you know, even with a mature organization or one that is stable, change is always change.
Right, right. Well, you know, it really takes 5 years for anything that you come into a school district with, because it's such a slow-moving bureaucracy and organization, and I'm the worst bureaucrat living in a bureaucratic world, but it's a slow-moving bureaucracy, and it takes 5 years before anything that you bring into the organization really takes impact. And guess what? It's my fifth year this year, so it's just starting. Some of the things that I brought with me and some of the people that I brought into the district are just starting to take a hold, and we're starting to see the fruits of the labor of everything that we've been working so hard on. And that's not, and I don't mean that to be just me, but just the group and in the direction that we're going as a district.
It would be difficult, I think, for a lot of folks if they are in leadership or senior management positions, I think, to determine when to pull the trigger. Because you got so many things in the pipeline, and you want to see them to fruition, and then they start coming through, and then you've got another idea that you want to implement, and you want to see through, and have it finished the way that you have it in your head, the way it ought to be.
That's one of the biggest challenges, is figuring out the stop doing list and really sticking to that core of what we're trying to move forward. Because if we say yes to everything, we just can't do it. And we just don't have the capacity as a district, as far as manpower and woman power and everything else out there, to make all those good ideas happen. Because there's a lot more good ideas out there than we have the ability to implement.
So how do you restrain yourself?
You really have to pick that path and really have that in your core and really move in that direction and continue to remind yourself what that core is. And who picks that core? That is the what of the district is the school board. And so we have to really take a look at what it is, their strategic plan, and where we want to go as a district. And then my job, I'm charged with the how. And
yeah, you execute the plan.
Exactly. Exactly. And then report out to the board how we're doing on that, what it is that they want.
Do you and your senior staff have the opportunity to be creative, to do things within that target, to execute the plan? Or are the school board members pretty much the ones who dictate, here's what we want it to look like, here's what we think you ought to go for, and now you guys work within a tight range?
Well, I'll tell you where we have to get creative is when we're somewhere between the 45th and 48th worst funded state in per student funding, you have to get very creative to make plans that are fiscally feasible to implement, because you go back to the East Coast where you've got school districts that are having $25,000, $30,000 per student with funding. Hey, they can have all kinds of counselors, they can have full-time librarians, they can have all these things that have a direct impact on making learning better that we just simply can't afford out
here. So with the CTA being as aggressive and as strong as they are when it comes to budget and budget procurement at the state, how can that be?
Well, you have to remember, 85% of our budget is spent on people. And so a big lobby of CTA is funding, and this is no secret, CTA is out to protect the employees, and I don't hold that against them, that's just their job. And so it's that balance of providing good compensation for employees while providing a high quality education for students.
It's 8:30.
As a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck from Eureka City Schools. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redeck. Fred, you got your budget. Well, sort of, kind of. The state has their budget that they've pushed through.
The proposal, anyways. Yes.
Yeah, the tentative one, the working one, however you want to, you know, the one that is cast in water.
Yes, yes.
However you want to play this game. In general, comment?
Well, in general, what Governor Brown is really coming out and publicly saying is that this California economic growth is slowing greatly. And he's very concerned about the near-term future, about what economics look like, because our state budget is really tied heavily to that top 1% in California.
Oh, the ones that are leaving because of the tax structures?
Could be, yes. Yeah, okay. Could be those very
Which
ones.
Would make... Would make sense and would be in parallel to what you were saying he was sensing.
Right, right. So the big question is, what is the long-term outlook for everyone who is so dependent upon that state budget, which is so dependent upon that top 1% of income earners? And so funding right now, as we look forward for next year, which is the 17-18 school year or 17-18 fiscal year for the state, is looking relatively flat. The thing that is the biggest component of the budget that's up in the air is how special education funding is going to work. And let me put that in perspective. Special education funding for Eureka City Schools, we have roughly a $40 million budget, a little bit more now. And we have a contribution to special education, students with disabilities, of $4 million in this current year. So 10% of our budget is spent on students with disabilities, above what we receive from the state and federal government for students with disabilities. And so the interesting component about that is the state is saying, hey, we recognize that there's a component that's not working for special education. We're not going to give more funding, but we're going to really look into potentially restructuring how we're funding schools. And there was a report that came out that made a recommendation to the governor that he's going to look at very seriously, and that is changing from the current funding model to an enrollment funding model and tying it into how schools are funded now under the local control accountability plan and local control funding
formula. So instead of the 8,000 roughly that you guys get per kid, you would get an enhanced number for each special ed?
Well, just an enhanced number for every kid, whether they're special education.
Oh, just total enrollment?
Right.
And well, so, that still puts this itty bitty guys. I'm thinking, say, Big Lagoon, right? And they got 100 kids. I'm sure that 100 is not what they have. I don't know what side it is, but it's not 100. And they've got three special needs kids. 3% of their student population base has some kind of a special challenge.
Well, county averages that could bankrupt 20%.
Okay, 20 of them.
Yep.
Wouldn't that make that budget just unattainable? That, it would be upside down, and there regardless?
There lies the problem. So if they redo the special education funding, like I just talked about, on a per pupil, you go to counties like Humboldt County. Humboldt County is the number one county in the state as far as percentage of special education students in our schools. We're going to lose compared to other counties in the state that have the lowest, or charter schools potentially that have the lowest populations of special education students are going to become the winners of this. So basically what's happened is they're taking all the money, putting it in a bucket, and then redistributing it. And the unfortunate thing is if it's redistributed this way, it will impact our schools here in Humboldt County tremendously, and it's going to be a tremendous problem for us. So you look at that $4 million, 10% of our budget towards a contribution to students with disabilities, it's going to increase. And that's not a positive impact for us.
20% of the enrollment in Humboldt County?
That is correct.
Of K-12?
One in five students. One in five students.
Before we go,
and remember,
go off the deep end on this one.
It's through their 21st birthday if you're special education.
How do you define special needs?
Well, there's a full gamut of that. And on the low side, you have someone who maybe has a little speech problem that can't quite articulate their R's or something really minor like that, all the way up to someone who's severely handicapped and can't.
The one that everybody would
right.
understand.
Right.
So speech?
So you
speech impediments, minor speech impediments?
Mm-hmm.
What? I don't mean to put you on the spot, but... minor or low level or whatever the gradation is, what percent are we would have a tough time recognizing the special needs?
So
regular people. Is that half of that crowd? Is it 10%?
It really depends on the school, and it depends. I really,
because some of these kids cost you guys a ton of money, and some of them might be, you know, a half an hour of a speech therapist once a week. Well,
right,
that's a whole different.
What I can say is the number one growing area of special education, students with disabilities, is autistic. Students with autism. That's the one that is just growing like crazy. And so there's lots of speculation out there. Is it real? Are we misidentifying students that aren't really autistic and calling them autistic? Did we miss all these students earlier and they're autistic and we weren't identifying them? So there's lots of questions that are really revolving around that. But that's nationwide. That's not just here. But that is the number one growing area of special education.
If there was specific... strings attached, categorical funding, whatever the cutesy phrase is, for the special needs kids specifically, and the state took care of that on a separate funding silo, not as part of anything else. They handled the 100% of the cost. How would that change your dynamic if you lost the normal, the $8,000 for each of those kids, that 20%, but the state, it was a separate fund entirely for those kids, so you had 80% of the income and 80% of the student population, but you weren't having to deal with this wide range of impact.
Well, one of the perspectives that I like to put that in is if we didn't have the encroachment or contribution or whatever you want to call it of special education, we could afford, not that we'd spend it this way, but we could afford to give an 18% ongoing raise to all employees.
What would the facilities look like? A little bit different, too?
Yeah, with facilities, I mean, we would still be having the facilities with those students. You know, we still need to provide the services. But here's what the problem is. It's not the state. It's the feds. Because individuals...
Are this ADA?
well, IDEA, Individuals Education Act, Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, is a federal act that we're required to follow for students with disabilities, and the feds don't provide the funding. So the state is real common for them to just put their hands up in the air and say, this isn't our problem, this is a federal law. That's who should be paying this.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 8:48. Fred, in the last segment, we're with Fred Van Fleck. You'd commented 20% of Humboldt County student population, K-12, is special needs, and that ranks us percentage-wise or per capita as number one in the state of California. Is this the drug culture coming back and busting us in the chops yet again?
Well, I can't say that I have evidence to support that, but anecdotally, I absolutely believe that that's what it is. Children that are born with some sort of drug dependency, or children that are born to parents who happen to use during their pregnancy. One of the things that I think is going to be an impact of Prop 64 and the legalization of marijuana, and it's already been an impact, is this idea that marijuana is it's a medicine. It's okay to take. It's safe to take when you're pregnant. It's safe to take when you're having children. And I get concerned about that because the research is pretty clear that it's not safe to take when you're pregnant. I'm sure there's somebody out there listening that would dispute that. But at least everything that I've read and heard about and the doctors that I've heard talk about it say that it absolutely is not safe to take when you're pregnant. And then you can go down the whole spectrum from methamphetamines all the way down the list of things that have that impact on children. You could even be as simple as alcohol, fetal alcohol syndrome, and the impacts that that has on the learning of children.
And we've had that here for generations.
Absolutely.
So that one, I think, is baked right into the system. Yeah.
Right, right. And so it's really sad to see that the real disadvantage that a student that is born drug dependent has, because they just don't have the same opportunities because they have that disability that's impacting their learning.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you.
Have fun tonight.
Woohoo.
See everybody tomorrow.